of endless glory. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying he is one and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Sunday we began the second phase of Lent. First phase from Ash Wednesday through the parable of the prodigal son is all to help us respond to God's mercy by conversion. Second phase from third Sunday all the way toward the end of the fifth week of Lent is all a catechumenal preparation for those elect now who are preparing for baptism, to help them to understand the meaning of baptism, and for all of us prepared by conversion for the need that every human being has for the gifts of baptism. We prepare for the renewal of our baptismal promises for real, not just as a liturgical rite, but as something existential. And then the third phase, which begins at the end of the fifth week, is when we get the explicit prophecies about how Jesus will make those waters of the ecclesiastical Jordan powerful so that we might die to ourselves and he might rise. That's what Lent is. Conversion is a death and resurrection brought about by baptism, made potent by the Lord's baptism in blood on Calvary. It's always interesting when we celebrate baptism, when you give families the chance to choose the readings for their baptism. Some of the times you're baptizing many, and so you're never going to be able to just give it to one or the other. But when you have a baptism with just one child, and there can be greater cooperation with the family, you give them, to help them enter into the ceremony more and grow in faith, the opportunity to suggest the readings. When you have the gospel, you would think that many of them, for example, would choose Jesus' command in Matthew 28, "Go to all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to carry out everything I have commanded you, knowing that I'm with you always until the end of time." You would think that they'd want to choose John 4, Jesus and the Samaritan woman, if it weren't 44 verses long, and people just, especially if the preacher goes on, would like to shorten the rite for the sake, of course, of the little baby. But 2/3 of the couples choose today's reading. They recognize, no matter what their state of preparation is, that today's gospel expresses our end of the covenant with God. That God gives everything out of love, and that our response is not merely to love him with part of who we are, but all that we have. Hear, O Israel. We prayed in the responsorial psalm, I am the Lord your God, hear my voice. It's God's great plea. Hear me. And in Hebrew we know the word to hear is similarly the word to obey. Hear my voice. And when this lawyer comes up to Jesus and asks him which out of all 613 commandments is the first, Jesus responds with the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. Therefore, since we can have no other gods, we shouldn't have any other prior loves. We shouldn't have any objects of our mind, our heart, our soul, or our strength greater than God. We, in fact, because of who God is, none of those holy organs, all synthetic in their own right, should even partially compete with God. So Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with 100% of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then to make it absolutely concrete, he shows us how to do that. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We can sometimes think we love God as he deserves by the simple fact that we don't hate him, that we have good, warm feelings about the Lord. God doesn't need anything. So the sacrifices we're asked to do for God are minimal, and so we can easily be misled to think that we really do love him. But Jesus concretized it in the love of neighbor. If we're really loving God, then we will show it by loving our neighbor with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength in God. So I like to stress, Jesus never said, love me as I love you. He said, love one another as I have loved you. When he asked Simon Bar-Jonah if he loved him more than everything else, Simon three times replied, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Peter's love for the Lord would be expressed in the love that he showed for those whom the Lord was entrusting to him. To love. Today the church celebrates the feast of St. Francis of Rome. She wanted to become a woman religious as a young girl, but her father had different plans. From a noble family, she needed to marry a nobleman. And so in that arranged marriage, she was wedded for 40 years, despite particular marital struggles. She loved her husband with all her mind, heart, soul, and strength. Loved her children. There's a great episode in her life which is illustrative in the history of the church, that because of the wealth in the family, they had a house in one of the most prominent areas of Rome, right next to the Campidoglio, where the mayor of Rome has always been, right close to the Forum. She was in the chapel and heard her children calling for her help. And she readily, as she would teach her Benedictine oblates later after she had founded a religious order when she was a widow, said she would leave the Lord in the chapel to go run after the Lord, crying to her with the voice of one of her own children. There was no conflict between the love of God and the love of neighbor. She saw a harmony. And in really loving her children, she knew that she was loving the Lord. While she was still a married woman, she, with her sister-in-law, opened up more or less food pantries and clothing dispensary for the poor all throughout Rome. When her mother-in-law died and she became more or less the top female in the family, she started to spend so much money that her father-in-law shut off the spigot because he just thought it was excessive. So much was she moved. She had a merciful heart, a heart that was for the poor, that she could not stop caring for them. Eventually, she won over her father-in-law. And after her husband had died, She was able to fulfill that vocation to become a religious. But in the Benedictine oblates that she had founded there right on the Palatine Hill, she continued this work of charity and surrounded herself with other women who were similarly called by the Lord to be the icons of his love, to be those who in their life were loving God and loving neighbor with all they have. There's something really powerful today at the end of today's first reading, sisters, which is, straight are the paths of the Lord, in them the just walk. Straight. Sometimes we can think that the Lord asks us to go down these curvaceous, dark valleys with all these sort of ambushes around the way. No. The Lord makes his call extremely straight. It's love me and love each other. Don't make excuses. Don't overly complicate it. Love is this sacrifice of ourselves, this gift of ourselves that's interpersonal. It's not to things, it's not to objectives. It's to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it's together with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to others. Now, the paths are straight. So why do we find it so hard? Are we listening when the Lord says to us, Shema? Yes, we are. And it's not just that we're weak. It's because for the most part we fail because we try to do it on our own. And on our own we can't. God loves us so much that we couldn't love him with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength and love our neighbor as he has loved us by our own power. So that's why today we used the opening prayer from Friday of the third week rather than the collect of St. Francis of Rome. Because I wanted that to be our prayer this morning, and I'm sure you were hanging on every word and remember exactly what we asked for. But we turned to the Lord and we said, pour your grace into our hearts that we may obey by your own gift the heavenly command you have given us. God seeks to pour his grace, and when we talk about God's grace, it's our participation in his own life as creatures. To talk about grace is our sharing in God's life. God pours himself into our hearts so that we might fulfill the heavenly command that he gives us. We might obey it. We might hear it and do it. Pope Benedict, of course, focused on this in his beautiful encyclical letter, Deus Caritas Est, when he asked the question, how can the Lord command us to love? Isn't love supposed to sort of come from within? Isn't there supposed to be a little feeling involved in it? Yes, he does command it, and there is feeling involved in it. But he pours himself out as love so that from the inside he can help us to keep it. He commands it, Pope Benedict said, because he has first given the grace to keep it. Today, on this 21st day of the 40 days of Lent, or the 24th day of the 46 days of Lent, but either way, we're now into the second half. We go back to the first day of Lent, when the prophet Joel started this whole season by saying, return to me with your whole heart. Rend it open, so that God can fill it with himself, essentially, so that we can return to the Lord with our whole heart and our whole soul and our whole mind and our whole strength. And the way that he helps us to keep it is he pours into our hearts not just his dearly beloved Son's body, blood, soul, and divinity, but together with him, the Holy Spirit, filling our hearts with that grace so that we can do this in his memory and love our neighbor by the same standard with which the Lord loves us now.